Can you hear me? There I am. All right, well, I just want to, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to start by just reiterating, you know, Saturday morning I woke up, I've been dealing with allergies, and then it just got worse that, you know, Friday night into Saturday, it was pretty uncomfortable, pretty miserable. I woke up, said, it's probably something else, I guess I can't come to church, you know, and this, in the environment that we find ourselves, where we're really careful about sharing germs, you know, share everything else, just don't share your germs. That being said, I said, hey guys, I need somebody to cover me. And John was very quick to offer, and I really appreciate him for that. Thank you, John, for willingness to jump in there. But as I'm walking out of the medical facility, I went and got checked out yesterday, and they said, no, you just have allergies, and it's turned into sinus infection, and yeah, you probably feel miserable, but you're not contagious. The Lord had just put it on my heart because it's in line with part of our text this morning. He said, I want you to speak anyway. And the Apostle Paul, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there. The Apostle Paul talks about bringing the testimony of God to the Corinthians at the time that he spoke to them. He's writing a letter to them, but he's referring to the first time he came to them when they weren't believers. And he said, I came to you not in earthly wisdom, not with words that were plausible. So he's saying, not in a very impressive way. I came to you in weakness and trembling. And God says, I want you to speak. I said, okay. So, no, I don't feel good. And in fact, for those of you that understand what it means, my hemoglobin went down a couple of points. So, I also don't feel good for that reason. but that's okay. Because Paul said he did it this way because he didn't want them to believe because of him, because his words were all that wonderful, all that powerful, and I'm just trying to fix my microphone there. And he said, I want you to believe in the power of God and his Holy Spirit. There are times for detailed, orchestrated, carefully planned presentations that impress people and convince them of things. But this time in particular, Paul is addressing a group of people who their culture is all about the presentation. It's all about how the orator presents himself. He's just got to be really good at presenting information. And the presentation is actually more important than the content. And so this time in particular, the Holy Spirit put it on his heart to make a presentation that was not impressive so that they would not have faith in Paul's presentation or in his fancy words, but that they would believe in the power of God because what he shared was Christ and him crucified. In fact, he said, I declare to know only that when I am with you. And Paul was a very smart man. He knew what he was doing, and if we look in other places in Scripture, he had some pretty impressive presentations, some pretty impressive sermons. But what I want you guys to think about this morning is, what hardship are you going through? Is there something God has called you to that you don't feel like you're up to the task? Is there sin that you're still struggling with in your life and you're like, I don't know how to get out of it? And when I talk about a calling in your life, maybe it's something that God has shared with you at a young age and you're still waiting for that to come to fruition. And maybe like Abraham, you're tempted to do this in your own strength and do it outside of God's timing. Or maybe God's laid on your heart specifically to share the truth of the gospel with an individual, a family member. Maybe you've been in the grocery store standing in line and you wish you had had the boldness or the wherewithal to share your faith with that individual. Maybe it's not even that specific. Maybe you're saying to yourself, I want to share. I want to be obedient to God, but I don't know enough. I'm not trained enough. I don't have what it takes. Well, Paul's saying, you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know enough. You don't have to have it all figured out. What he did was he preached the truth, not in an impressive way, but his dependency was not on his presentation, but his dependency was on the power of God. And so what my encouragement for you, if you hear nothing else today, is that whatever the Lord has put on your heart to do or to get freedom from or to walk into, that you do it in the power of God and His Holy Spirit. He may give you skills to do this. We've got a lot of talent in this church. And I'm really appreciative of the various people. I look around and I say, oh, they're really good at this and they're really good at that. I'll pick on Laura. I see Laura there. She's really good at making like flyers. She's got this app on her phone. She's like, I'll call her and say, I need a flyer to say this, this, and this. And 5 minutes later, it's like, boom, there it is. I was like, that's impressive. She's really good at that. God, she's used skills and what God has given her to do that. That's just an example. So yeah, we may have skills and talents and passions that God is going to use. But what Paul is talking about here is, all of that aside, do you trust in the power of God and His Holy Spirit? A little background. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's connected to chapter 2. So I'm going to read here verses 21 through 25. For the word of the cross was folly to those who were perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So first of all, the mere declaration of the cross being sufficient is folly. The human mind, the natural mind, can't comprehend it. They can't accept it. We're going to skip to verse 21. For since the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand a sign and the Greeks demand wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Greeks. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. This is the foundation by which Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. And I'd like to encourage you, at whatever strengths or talents you have, whatever strengths or talents God calls you to use, that the foundation of what you do for the Lord is rooted in this, that you're weak. You accept that you have weakness, that you have frailty, and there's nothing wrong with that. You're human. You can't help it. Yeah. Sin did that to us. We have limitations. We get sick. We make mistakes. We make plans, and they're not perfect. We can try our best, and we can still fall flat on our face. But the point is, whatever God has called you to, either the big picture or just what He's calling to you that day, that you operate within the strength of the Lord, that is your dependency. So in that, we can make an awesome presentation. There's nothing wrong with that. But is our hope, our dependency, in the power of God? So the message today is entitled, Trust in the Power of God. And the call for today would be, trust in the power of God and the work of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to look at 2 points. One being that we're going to trust in God. And trusting in God's power means that we're not trusting in our presentation. It also means that we're not trusting in in the wisdom of man. And number 2, we're going to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, both to work in us and to work in the ones we're speaking to. Excuse me. Now we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read our main text. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling, and my speech and my message were not of plausible words or of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and in the power of God, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is the wisdom, not the wisdom of this age or of these rulers, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no ear has seen, nor what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart has imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thought except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words taught, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit and through your power. Thank you for using me. Thank you for all who are present. We are blessed by your presence, and thank you for your word. Amen. So number one, trusting in the power of God, not in the presentation of the message or in the wisdom of man. Paul says he comes giving the testimony of God. That's an interesting term there, and if you want to look up more information about it, I'd encourage you to look up 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. But for the sake of time, let me just tell you that that statement, testimony of God, in the Old Testament we're told not to accept any accusation or any statement to be truth unless it can be confirmed by two or three witnesses. 1 John tells us that and there is a witness there, that we have the witness of Jesus, of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. There's a reference to both blood and water, water being the baptism of Jesus and blood being the crucifixion. So those two major events are actually testimonies of God. I just thought that was interesting. For what it's worth, I'd encourage you to go study it for yourself. But he says he's coming in weakness and not in lofty words. You know, we might be hesitant to do what God has called us to do because, like I said, we're afraid we don't have the right words, we don't have what it takes. Or maybe we're afraid of rejection or persecution. You know, sometimes we might think it's hard to talk to strangers, but I've heard others say it's actually harder to talk to your family. You've got to live with them. Again, this is an encouragement from Paul. We can have faith just to speak the truth. We don't have to have everything figured out. If you don't know the answer to their question, it's okay. If you speak the truth to somebody and they reject it, it's not a rejection of you, it's a rejection of the truth. And if the Holy Spirit has not touched their heart to receive that truth, to have that hidden knowledge, that wisdom, of course they're going to reject it because they have earthly human wisdom. And earthly human wisdom cannot understand the things of God, specifically the gospel. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's the power of God that any of us has believed. If you're sitting here today and you have believed, it was only the power of God that allowed you to do that. Even the impulse to say, I think I believe. God, are you real? Show me that you're real. Even that was a work of the Holy Spirit. That little shred of faith that lets you step forward and allowed God to reveal himself to you even more. Something worth noting is if Paul came to them with a wonderfully orchestrated and planned declaration, and he could prove to them through his excellent speech and wisdom, and they believed because of his presentation, isn't it possible that someday in the future they would choose not to believe because of someone else's equal or better presentation to the contrary? We really must depend on the power of God, not on our presentation, or we risk not having a true conversion. Of course, this does not mean that there isn't a place for well thought out, organized demonstrations and presentations. You know, if not, we wouldn't have apologetics. Apologetics is a defending of the faith. It's having an answer for what we believe. It's defending against critics of the faith. And there is a place for that. Paul's not telling us otherwise. Otherwise, he'd be contradicting Scripture. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. We have to be able to give a reason. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Now that word "each" was interesting to me. So we can come up with a plan of how we're going to share our faith, and we can practice it. We can get pretty good at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's different ways of sharing your faith. There's different ways of speaking the truth. But Colossians is telling us that every time you speak to a different person, there's a different way that the truth needs to be conveyed to them. And how am I going to know that? I'm a good judge of character, but I'm not that good. I can't know the perfect way for every person that I talk to. So what it means is I have to be relying on the Holy Spirit. Another point about the wisdom of man. Even as believers, we can be influenced by earthly wisdom, by human wisdom that goes against the wisdom of God. Hopefully, as a mature believer, it doesn't happen that often, but it can happen. This is seen every time a church, a Christian school, or Christian organization, or even the individual gives into or compromises for the demands of the culture. This could be like redefining marriage or gender. This could be compromising the presentation of the gospel because we don't wish to offend. I've heard of churches who the leadership decided to take the cross off of the front of their building for fear that it might offend an unbeliever. Brothers and sisters, that's an insane statement because the word says the cross is an offense. That's what it's there for. It needs to offend. We can't compromise. We have to stand by the truth and resist the temptation to allow the culture to tell us how to think. We need to lean into the wisdom of God. How do we protect against this? By being in the Word, by being in prayer, by being around other believers who can call us out if we start to have worldly wisdom, and by listening to the Holy Spirit. So we trust in the power of God, and we also need to be praying that God would reach the lost through the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? I need to be praying that the Holy Spirit, I would be responsive to the Holy Spirit. I could hear him as he works in me. And I'm also praying as I'm speaking to somebody that he's working in them. Because like I said, doesn't matter how good my presentation is, if the Holy Spirit's not involved, it doesn't matter. So I need to be praying. Every time I'm talking to somebody, every time the Lord's called me to do something, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is working in me. I'm praying the Holy Spirit is working in them. I'm going to share with you guys something that's in the works. It's coming up in the future. If you want to move to the next slide. I think it's the next slide. Keep going. There we go. So I've shared a plan with the elders. I've talked to a couple of you, but I haven't really shared it with the whole congregation yet. I look forward to a time when I've got all my ducks in a row, and I've got more details, and I can share this at length. But it is my intention and hope to start a new ministry, building on an existing work within the Madison Schools. So Grace Fellowship's been involved in the Madison School District for several years now, and I want to start a ministry called Reach Madison, which is an effort that I would serve as a missionary into the Madison School District. So I am hoping to raise support to that end so that I can be intentional about bringing the gospel and the love of Jesus and reaching out to students, their families, and the faculty. A really brief explanation. It's finding out specifically what are the needs that they have and then connecting them with area churches that can meet those needs, not just Grace Fellowship, but other churches as well. And then obviously our hope is to bring new families to Grace, but my primary function, our function is to bring families into the kingdom, whether that's at Grace Fellowship or other local Bible-believing churches. We'll be continuing our game club ministry, and we're talking about starting up some new ministries. So I might be approaching some of you to both be a part of a planning team for that and to actively be a part of implementing it. But I'd appreciate your prayers as I'm continuing to prepare for that. Just an interesting kind of out-of-the-box approach to making sure that I have the time and resources to focus on that ministry. So Mission to Madison is working to be a missionary into the Madison School District. So thank you for your prayers for that. Okay, verse 6. Paul talks about mature, among the mature. He says, they'll impart wisdom, although not the wisdom of this age. So Paul's talking about having knowledge given to the mature. And our first thought there would be a mature believer. And that's possible. But other interpretations of that particular use of mature would say that that mature person is actually the believer. The immature person is the one who is still governed by worldly wisdom, specifically the unbeliever. And I'm inclined to think that's what it's saying there. So Paul's making a distinction between believers and unbelievers. Believers have access to the wisdom and hidden knowledge of God. Unbelievers do not. And to that point, the reason that Paul would talk about hidden wisdom and knowledge, he was trying to get the attention of his listeners. He was speaking to the Greeks, and within that culture, there was various mystery religions. In fact, we still have mystery religions today. They say, well, we've got access to special knowledge that helps us understand God, or even those who would call them Christians will say, well, we have access to special revelation from God that makes us special Christians. So specifically, there was Gnosticism, which is this idea that the only way to find salvation in God is through the hidden and secret knowledge that he offers, only the select few. I guess, in a way, they weren't entirely wrong, because we don't have access to understand and implement the gospel of Jesus Christ unless God reveals that hidden and secret knowledge to us. And so that's what he's talking about, specifically the gospel, and then more generally, the fact that the Holy Spirit will give us illumination as we read the scriptures. He gave revelation and inspiration to the original writers of the Bible. He's done writing the Bible. He doesn't give us new holy material like that, but he gives his believers illumination, turning the light on, so to speak, so that they can understand what he has put there in the scriptures. Does he make it obvious everything? No. And I don't think this is because he doesn't want us to find it. Part of it is he wants us to search for it. He wants us to dig because there's value in finding that treasure. Jeremiah says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. So there's an encouragement there to keep digging. All right. And of course, if you remember when we were studying the parables of Jesus, he told his disciples that the meaning of the parables was hidden to the unbeliever, but to the believer, to his children, the meaning can be revealed. Again, there's a hidden knowledge there, even in the presentation of the parables. In verse 9, we see a very quoted verse, and it's an exciting verse. from Isaiah, "What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." So if you're like me, most of my life I've just kind of thought of that in a general sense. God's got awesome stuff planned for me, and that sounds great. And brothers and sisters, he does. In a general sense, that's a true statement. He has awesome things planned for you, and you don't know everything that God has in store for you. But I think a rather exciting fact is that what Paul is showing us is that specifically within the context of what he's been talking about, this passage is fulfilled in our understanding of the gospel. It elevates the value of the gospel. The gospel that Jesus would come and die for a sinful people and that his death would be sufficient to bring us life and freedom from sin. Like, that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. We only believe that because the Holy Spirit has revealed that truth to us. That is amazing. No eye had seen it, no ear had heard it, and no heart could conceive it. It's crazy. It's ludicrous to the human mind. It doesn't make sense. What an amazing thing is the gospel. Amen? And he says, to those who love him. And I hope here that you see the connection to the greatest commandment, to love God and to love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're told in John, in two different places, we're told that if we love God, we'll obey his commandments. And then if we love each other, we'll demonstrate to the world that we're his disciples. So we see in that these truths, these hidden things will be revealed to those who love him, i.e. to those who believe, to those who are his children. And of course, our theme for this year is to grow in healthy relationship with God and others. So I had to work there, but I made sure to get our theme in there. So this hidden truth, this wisdom, was revealed not by an angel, but by special revelation of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to throw that out there because God has many times delivered good news by an angel, but specifically he gave us the word through the Holy Spirit. verses 11 through about 14 are talking. It sounds a little confusing maybe if you've not been familiar with it, but it talks about spiritual things only being understood by those who are spiritual and unspiritual persons not understanding spiritual things. So let me just kind of summarize that for you. What he's saying is God will reveal these truths, these wonderful things, to those who believe. But to those who do not believe, it's still going to be hidden. So what does that mean? It takes the pressure off when we share the gospel, when we're obedient to whatever God's calling us to. Again, we don't have to have all the details figured out. We don't have to have the perfect presentation. And if I share the truth, and that's all I'm responsible to do, share the truth. Everybody say, share the truth.
Share the truth.
That's all you're responsible for, to know the difference between the truth and a lie, to share the truth. The presentation has value, but it is not as important as the power of the Holy Spirit working within the situation. So, if I've been obedient to share the truth and somebody doesn't accept it, I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to beat myself up. Oh my goodness, did I share correctly? Oh, if I'd have said it this way, if I'd have brought that point up, why didn't I think about that while I was talking to him? Just stop it. It's not going to help you. Actually, I think that that's the enemy just trying to discourage you from speaking in the future. Remember, the Lord's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind. So as we speak, we just do our best. Just do your best. Learn, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a command for all of us. That is a value. We need to be doing that. But just do your best to tell the truth and let God do the rest. And remember to be praying for the Holy Spirit's work. When we study Scripture, as Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold your wondrous things within your law." Acts 1:18 tells us, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes down upon you. You will be my witnesses into Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." When do we receive power? When are we equipped to go? It's when the Holy Spirit came to the earth and was given to the believer. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, He's your Savior, you've got the Holy Spirit, you're equipped. You ever noticed how new believers sometimes can be surprisingly effective at sharing their faith? It's because they haven't learned to get all the other stuff on the way. They're just sharing their testimony. They're saying, this is what God has done. Nobody can defeat your testimony because it's yours. It's what God has done for you. But you're just sharing the truth and letting God do the rest. Here's a quote from a pastor called named Paul Washer. He says, "The more you trust in the arm of the flesh, the less you are going to trust in the power of God. The more you trust in the arm of the flesh, the less you will trust in the power of God." I just thought that was a good word. All right, we're almost done here. Whatever God's called you to, trust in the power of God. Study. Make sure you know what you can know. You know, Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, I just quoted it, but it says, study to show yourself approved so that you're able to rightly divide the word of truth. There is a place and a purpose for studying and making sure you know what you're talking about. But don't let your lack of feeling like you're ready prevents you from serving the Lord and doing what He's called you to do. And then secondly, whatever the Lord's called you to, it is so important to be praying. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be working in you. Pray that the Holy Spirit would be working in them. Father God, I thank You. Thank You for Your word. I thank You that it's sufficient. I thank You that it's powerful. Lord, I thank You that Your Spirit is powerful and that it indwells the believer. Your word says that You will remind us of all the things You have taught us, Lord, so we will have what we need when we need it. And we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, that it's not about what we're doing, but it's about the work of Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we'll trust You to fill in the gaps. And we'll give ourselves grace when things don't work out the way we thought they should or the way we wanted them to. And we'll trust You for the details. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys will stand for the benediction. Oh yeah. And John's going to share something after the benediction, so don't leave yet. Father God, I pray that You would demonstrate Your Spirit and Your power within the lives of the brothers and sisters of Grace Fellowship Church in a mighty way. Give them what they need as they go out to tackle this new week. Lord, whether it's at work or it's with family or with friends, wherever You send them, Lord Jesus, Your Spirit goes before them, and I thank You for that. I thank You for the special ways that You've called each of us to be a part of what You're doing here in this world, in Mansfield specifically, and the surrounding cities. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.